January Kills Me by Evan Cady, Chapter 3. I'm normally on time for work. In fact, I am never late. If it weren't for Ben, I would have had a perfect record. How did you know I'd be here? I asked. You always stop at Sister's in the morning. At least you used to. Let's just say I was relying on you to be predictable. He stepped back and adjusted his coat. I caught a glimpse of a handgun. Ben looked extraordinarily dangerous. I noticed more than one woman wobble as she passed by. I took a deep breath and resolved not to be intimidated. I used to stop here every morning. I can no longer afford to do that. Now I'm here 2, maybe 3 times a week, or more. He raised his eyebrows. Which is a lot, now that I think about it. I paused. I probably shouldn't be here now. And yet you are. It was a long night. You left the party early. It wasn't much of a party. A short man pushed between us on his way to the milk and sugar stand. Sam, this is serious, Ben said, stepping back close. We're not just talking water balloons and midgets. Little people, I said too loudly, and then smiled at the milk and sugar man, who turned around to glare at me. I leaned into Ben and whispered, they like to be called little people. Ben held up his hand. Whatever. 2 dead people, Sam. He pointed toward an empty table. Sit and let me buy you a drink. I did need caffeine, but I didn't think 1 cup of tea was going to work fast enough for me to remain cool and aloof while being interrogated. Ben pointed again to the table and mouthed, sit. I tried in vain to come up with alternatives, but the only real way I could see getting out of this was to jam a straw into my eye and beg to be taken to the hospital. My hand went to my face and I winced, imagining the pain. Ben checked his watch. Sam, you're in luck. I have only 10 more minutes before I'm due in a meeting with the chief. 10 minutes. It didn't sound like much. Then again, it could be like the 10 minutes before I found out what the judges thought of my band's performance. Last month, the kids and I sat and giggled, our eyes wide like we hadn't slept in days, checking the clock every 30 seconds, finally unable to do anything but cheer and cry when we came in second. It didn't matter that we weren't first. We placed. Funny how time moves differently depending on what's at stake. This probably wouldn't involve giggling. Ben sighed heavily and ran his hand down his face. Please, let me buy you a drink. Then he added, it's either this or you come down to the station with me and we can... Tea, hot, black, no sugar. I stopped him from further describing the quality time I could spend at the police station. I found the table he pointed to, sat, and tucked my purse into my lap. When he returned with our drinks, I figured I'd power through the interrogation and get it over with. I took a sip of the scalding tea and could feel my tongue being stripped clean of taste buds. I sucked in some cool air and gasped, tears springing to my eyes. Ben sat calmly across from me, a hint of a smile playing on his lips as I choked. I saw nothing, I coughed out finally, thankful that at least the shock of the hot drink had cleared most of the cobwebs from my head. Mr. Singh, who appeared alive when he got into his car, drove his BMW to everyone's favorite I-want-to-pay-for-sex corner. The hooker, I stopped short, referring to a dead woman as a hooker seemed callous. Did you find out her name? Ben nodded. Street name was Simone. Took us all night to get her real one. I didn't want to know her real name. Simone will work. I took another sip of tea. Still hot, but less painful. Simone sauntered up to Mr. Singh's car. He invited her in. They drove down to First Street. There was minor activity, which my imagination filled in since the tinted windows prevented me from taking true pornographic pictures. Then Simone fell out of the car. I dialed 911. You arrived and made me nearly choke on my gum. I took a breath and thought for a minute. Yep, that's it. I have nothing else. Ben was cupping his coffee mug with both hands. They were nice hands. Not too big or too small. They looked strong. Nice eyes, too. Gray, reflecting the sunlight from the cafe window as he sat there looking at me. For a moment, we were just 2 people in a coffee shop. Ben was the one who found me at my mother's house after Harry had been hauled off to jail. At first, Ben's questions had been thoughtful, his expression caring, but that changed the more he found out. When I told him that I knew Harry was drunk and upset when he left the house, Ben turned grim. It felt as if all his anger toward his partner veered off in that moment and became directed at me, as if I was the catalyst for Harry's terrible mistake. For many months afterwards, I felt I had been,